This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Both the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we are. It is mid-December, and guess who's back? Back again. No, it's not Santa. He's coming later. It's Nick Backstrom. Nicky B is back.
I thought it was Eminem.
That's right. I went old school with that throwback there, that reference. Eminem, he's vintage now. But joining me as always to talk all about it, he never left due to injury or anything like that. He's been around this whole time. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm doing good. Of course, we got to start off with the big news. Nick Backstrom not only practiced, not only did some line rushes, but he left the ice with the team. All signs point to him being an active player on this roster up against the Blackhawks this week. How big of a thing is that? The fact that we have Nick Backstrom back in this lineup.
I mean, he is a game time decision for the game on Wednesday against Chicago, but he's an incredibly important player to the team, to the organization, to the fans. And having him back is just, it gets his team closer to what they want to be. I mean, so far this season, we have not seen the Washington Capitals at their full strength with all of their players. Most times a team will start out the season that way, and then you have to deal with injuries as you go forward. And then typically all teams, when they get to the playoffs, they tend to, they have guys that have injuries and issues and so on and so forth. So that's not anything new. But to have as many injuries and COVID issues recently and just as many players that have not been made available, to have a guy like Nick Backstrom, one of the best players ever in this organization. He's one of I have to imagine a Hockey Hall of Famer at some point, someone who's overlooked all the time for all-star games. He's an outstanding player, and he just makes this team better. You know, there's still a chance that he doesn't play on Wednesday night, but like you said, all signs point towards him playing Wednesday in Chicago. And it's a little disappointing that he's not coming back at a home game, because I imagine he would get a massive ovation. But it's still great to have him back. It solidifies the center of the ice a bit better. All of their centers are back. Nick Dowd's going to be back as well, so they have all four of their centers actually playing at the same game. It's true. At least for one. They're all going to be playing, and we'll see how that goes. And let's all take it easy in terms of the expectations for him. I know he's a veteran guy and he's likely to come back and play really well, but that doesn't mean that he's going to come out and suddenly be the Nick Backstrom we expect. I would not be at all surprised, and which means I'm probably going to be wrong, but I wouldn't at all be surprised if he didn't have a ton of minutes. If he was right around 12, 13, 14 minutes in the game, if not less, in the game against Chicago. You ease him back in a little bit. You play him, a little more and more as the game goes on, seeing how he's doing. And part of me wouldn't be surprised if they're like, after he probably takes warm-ups, and he's like, maybe I'm just not ready yet. But I wouldn't all be surprised if they had an extra forward taking warm-ups just in case Backstrom's not ready to go. But I think they're trying to get him back and get him playing, but they want to make sure that he's healthy. He's not a young guy anymore, so in terms of hockey, he's a young guy in terms of the real world. But in terms of sports, he's not a young guy anymore, and so you have to be careful rushing players of his age back from an injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And they definitely have taken their time. They have done everything that they've had to keep Backstrom on the right path. So many times we've seen – just look at TJ Oshie. He came back for, a game? And then he was out again. He missed the game against Seattle. This is a good one. I agree with you. I think you ease him in. You kind of make it easy but you do take it a little easy on Nick Backstrom. He's not going to get those first line minutes. Ease him in. Let him get used to it, because he's going to be rusty. He hasn't played since what? What was it? July? June? Something like that? I think it was June. With that first round exit against Boston. So He's going to have to work some rust off. Yes, he's doing that in practice, but really there is nothing that compares to actual in-game competition. So it's going to take some time for him to get back to where he was. And I say that, which means he's going to score a goal tomorrow.
Oh, he has to score a goal tomorrow. I mean, he's way behind. If you look at the standings, the stats, he's way behind. I mean, right now, Scarbosa's got more points than him. That's a problem. No, you know what? Let's all just take a breath. You know what it would be? If I'm the one that said that Backstrom is going to take some time, he would get a hat trick and then like five assists tomorrow's game, because that's what happens to me all the time. I would not be surprised if that happens. No, I think we do need to temper our expectations a little bit to see how he does, because he's been out for so long. But I think he's going to get a good amount of minutes. I think he's going to get some time on the power play. I think this is going to help the overall effectiveness of their crappy power play.
Yeah.
And how do I want to say this? Having Backstrom back doesn't hurt. It's only going to make you better.
It does not hurt. Correct. That is
it
very true.
It can't hurt to have a guy like a Nick Backstrom in your lineup.
Right. I mean, absolutely. He's one of the best to ever play in this organization. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. But with Nick Backstrom coming back, of course, we can't have a full lineup. We can't have nice things here with the Washington Capitals. Tom Wilson.
Nope, not allowed.
He got hurt in the game against Pittsburgh, and he has not played or practiced since. So the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. We get Nick Backstrom back.
Did you feel like
that
hit was all that big?
I didn't. For the what the punishment Tom Wilson takes, that one seemed pretty
right?
mild. Yeah.
Like when they were like, he got hurt in the game, and I was like, when? They're like, oh, it was probably his collision with Tristan Jarry. And I was like, no, I saw that play. That didn't seem like that big a deal. Like, I wonder if he just like tweaked something, or he just went awkwardly into him, or got a stinger or something. I don't know. But like, I saw that, and then I saw them saying it, and I was like, I don't know if that's correct.
Is this the first time Tom Wilson has missed a game that's not because of a suspension?
I don't think so. But
I don't remember him being injured before.
No, I don't know. I feel like he has. But I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not positive. But so that hit didn't seem like it was that bad. But for the dude not to even practice, they said that he was out before the team. Earlier on Tuesday. So, I mean, that's at least a good sign that he's mobile. I mean, so maybe he won't be out weeks. It'll be more like days. But, again, this team is going to have to come together with a new line combination with something different because, yes, we get Nick Backstrom back, but now we also now have Tom Wilson out of the lineup. So, again, this team is nowhere near the team that I think Brian McClellan or Peter Laviolette envisioned at the start of the season.
No, I agree with that completely, but I also don't think that it is it's clearly not affecting them all that much, considering the fact that they're on top of the Metropolitan Division right now.
True.
They've played one more game than Carolina, and they're only one point ahead of them, but they're still doing incredibly well. They're tied for first in the NHL with Toronto and Florida in terms of points. Florida does have a better record. They've won one more game. They've lost two less overtime games. So it's, you know, but the point totals are still the same. And the Caps have been doing very well without a number of players. They have guys in and out of the lineup, and they haven't been, it hasn't affected the lineup when you have a guy like Wilson go down because they've been plugging in Protas into that spot. And now he's had a couple of games with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. So it doesn't hurt as much. But we'll kind of see. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, they've had a lot of lineups. Now, Japers Rink actually had it. They sent it out today that Caps have used 20 different lineup combinations in 28 games.
That's a little crazy.
And the longest, yeah, I mean, the longest they've gone with the same lineup is 3 games, which is insane. And on top of that, they're still doing really well. They're still winning games. I mean, they've had some pretty ugly games. The game against Pittsburgh, ugly. They played terrible for 50 minutes. And I don't know if we want to get into the whole thing with Favari getting clocked and absolutely no supplemental discipline for it. No penalty call during the game. No supplemental discipline for it. we can get into the whole thing with Pittsburgh and how they have a get out of jail free card, and they not the NHL won't do anything to them. We don't have to do that. We don't want the show to be 4 hours.
Right.
But they've had to use a lot of line combinations, and yet, even with all of that, even though during the broadcast they're all talking about, oh, the injuries that Pittsburgh has had. Well, you know what? 20 of their 28 games, 20 different line combinations in 28 games. It's not because they're trying to find things that work. It's they're trying to find guys that can play. And so to be able to do that and still be on top of the league, or one of the top teams in the league, you're one of the top teams in your division. Credit to the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
For being able to pull this one off. I'm not a big Peter Laviolette fan, and I think that's because I don't know. I just am not. But he's doing a good job. I'm not sitting here going, we need to get rid of this guy. I'm sitting here going, all right, this is going well. Keep it up.
You got to give him credit with the world that we live in right now, this COVID run world. He's been able to come into a really bad situation. I mean, this has to be one of the worst times to start as a coach. You got to think about that. You're coming into what did he say at training camp? He had met employees of the Capitals that he had always talked to but never actually met. And they played, what was it, 56 games together, and they had never met before. So
he have a normal locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't have, big rah-rah speeches at the end of games last year. I mean, a lot of that's back right now. But looking at the game in Winnipeg, we've got two guys, Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Nick Dowd, who are cleared to play. They're going to be playing and be in the lineup in Chicago. But because they were either in close contact with someone with COVID or they had COVID, I'm not really sure what the story is there. I don't think they're even saying that. But due to just being close to something with COVID, they can't get into Canada. So they're flying to Chicago, playing a game, and then flying back to D.C., and then they'll be back in the lineup, what is it, Sunday or Monday when they're up against the Kings. So even a combination like that, like you got to think like, all right, we're doing these two games on the road. I'm losing two players that I know of because they can't get into Canada. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's just our reality right now, not only here, but, the world sports all over.
Right.
And just the world in general in terms of, teams have to be able to adapt. And I think having, your minor league club as close as Hershey is definitely a benefit right now because you can call up guys, assuming it's a home game, but you can get guys coming in pretty quickly. And yeah, it kind of makes it a little harder on the AHL team. And we'll talk about the Bears in a little bit,
but actually
it's the reality of the world we're in right now.
You just made me think of something, and this is completely out of the blue because you literally
do that.
You made me think of this. So a couple years ago, Redding was the team, the ECHL team, that was the farm team for Hershey. And I mean, to me, that made a whole lot of sense because they were an hour away from each other. Do you think because of what they have to go through with COVID and all the different protocols and, having players go up to the Capitals and, South Carolina is pretty far away from Hershey. Do you think like when that contract is up for that ECHL team, they're like, you know what? Maybe it's smarter for us to get a team closer to home. Maybe it will be a better transition if we can get players to drive an hour instead of get on a plane or something or a bus and have to get somewhere in like, whatever it is, 6-9 hours up the road.
The Caps last reaffiliated with the Stingrays back on July 16th of 2020. They renewed a 3-year extension, so they're good through at least, I guess, the 2022-2023 season before they're going to do anything else. But I think it's beneficial, COVID or not, it's beneficial to have at least your AHL team nearby.
Absolutely.
And then I would think it depends on how many players, because I don't think there's anybody on South Carolina right now that's like a Capitals prospect.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I know back a couple of years ago, like Nathan Walker was up and down between the Stingrays and the Bears.
I mean, Beagle was there at one point. He's the only guy in history to win, at least as far as I'm aware, the only guy in history to win a Stanley Cup, Calder Cup, and a Kelly Cup.
Right. And I know Holtby was a Stingray for a little bit, too. I think Fukale was a Stingray for a little bit.
So it's more of a connection between, I think, your AHL team and your ECHL team. However, right. You would think to an extent from a marketing perspective, you'd want them to be relatively nearby, right?
Right.
So if Hershey didn't have an AHL team or they were affiliated with the Flyers or the Penguins or something else, right? Like, I would want the AHL team in Baltimore, or I would want the AHL team in Richmond. Now, because you have that sort of marketing area that you're kind of covering, right? However, you know, there is a team that I believe is readily available and not affiliated. Let me double check on this. But there is an ECHL team that's like 3 hours from here. It depends on traffic. 95 can be kind of a pain. But you have the Norfolk Admirals.
That's 4 hours away.
No, that's from you, not from the Caps. Actually, by Les from Arlington.
Let's focus on me.
Oh, they're affiliated with Carolina? Carolina's AHL. Actually, I don't know if that's true. I think their AHL team is in Chicago. Like, that makes no sense to me. Why would you not want your AHL team close by?
Right.
So that way, if you have to call somebody up, it's a quick, you know, flight or a two-hour drive from Hershey down to D.C. Why would you have it so far away? I don't understand that. So if I'm the Caps, and it's nothing against South Carolina, but I'm looking at this.
They've been really good with the Caps.
I think that I want to put my team a little closer. You know, I don't think it's going to be a situation where they're going to go out and buy their own ECHL team. Like, I don't think they're going to get that to happen.
Right.
But do you go out and you try and reaffiliate with a team that's closer? Do you get a team and move them? Maybe you do buy an AHL or ECHL team, you know, and you put them in Baltimore, you put them in Richmond, or maybe you just, once you're able, you affiliate with Norfolk and you have them closer. That would be what I would do. Now, Norfolk and Hershey aren't that close. Doesn't really help them as much. But you put them in Hershey? I mean, I'm sorry. If you put them in Baltimore, how far is it from where you're at to Hershey? For me, it's like 2.5. But I'm down here in outside Rockville. I'm down here in Montgomery County.
Probably like hour 30. Maybe not even that. Yeah. And you're like hour 15.
Hour and a half to get from Baltimore. It's perfect. Bring back the Skipjacks. You got the Caps, the Bears, and the Skipjacks. Perfect. And again, this is nothing against South Carolina. It's just too far away. I mean, I feel like things can happen, you know. But Caps are affiliated for a while. But no, I think you're saying, you'd think with COVID, you'd want to be closer to your affiliate, but to each their own. And, you know, you have these agreements that are in place, and there's financial realities associated with that that may limit some teams from being able to move theirs. But you looked at, like, was it the Canucks? They're out in Vancouver. They're affiliated with a team in like New York State. And you're like, I haven't looked at a map in the last few minutes, but I'm pretty sure not near each other.
Right.
Now they're right outside of Vancouver. They're in Abbotsford? No, that's not right. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. The point is they're right nearby. So I don't understand why you would have your team so far away. You know, South Carolina to Hershey's a bit of a hike, but it's nice. I like what they've done. I like the Stingrays not having the best season right now. We'll talk about that shortly, but, you know, it's an interesting choice. How do we get on this topic?
I bring things up sometimes that just enter my brain.
I was trying to figure out how we were going to circle back around, and I had nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, let's look at the lineups for what the expected lineup for the Wednesday game. So we've got Ovi, Kuzi.
Who knows?
Right. All of this could change in the blink of an eye, but we have Ovi, Kuzi, Protas, Sheary, Backstrom, Oshie, McMichael, Eller, Sprong, Haglin, Dowd, Malenstein. So Backstrom being centered by Sheary and Oshie, that's a good line for him to be there for him to start his season with. I like that lineup.
It's not bad. I mean, they're starting to get guys back. You're still missing a couple players, but you're starting to get players back that can produce and provide you with some goals, play some solid hockey, and that's what this team needs right now to keep up with the teams around them.
All right, so what else should we talk about here in Caps World?
Yeah, last little bit of things we can kind of talk about, unless we want to jump into some other stuff, is the KHL is apparently negotiating with the NHL, which if I'm the NHL, I'm telling them to jog on. But the KHL is trying to get the Caps and the Lightning to play an exhibition game in Russia in 2022 against some Russian teams. If I'm NHL, no. I don't need to prove anything to you. Nor do I want you trying to keep my players there. Hard pass for me.
So, all right, so here's the thing. So I remember back in college, when you and I were in college, there was talk of the Caps playing in Moscow for an exhibition game. I remember this vividly because Phil and I were like looking at like plane tickets and stuff to be like, how cool would it be to go to Moscow and see the Caps play? Like, we are totally down for that. And then everything fell apart. Then during the NHL lockout, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn was the brand new arena. And before the Islanders had a chance to play there, the KHL was trying to play a game there while the NHL was locked out. And then everything fell apart. So I doubt this happens. However, how cool would it be for, because the NHL has done games abroad, exhibition games abroad before. I know they've played in like Sweden and a couple other places. Number one, I don't think this is going to happen in 2022 because COVID is very much still a thing. It would be really cool to have Kuzi and Orly.
That is true.
Yeah, Sammy and Ovi and those guys playing in Russia. But I don't understand. So the article that I read, this was on Russian Machine, said that they wanted to play against Russian teams. So are they talking about KHL teams, or are they talking about like the national Russian team?
Well, like Ovechkin would play a period and a half with the Caps and then a period and a half with the Russian team. No, I think the idea is that they would play like an exhibition game. Like, it would almost be, so in European football, they play like the Champions League or Europa League or the European Conference League or whatever that third tournament is that somehow Arsenal still didn't get into, although it might be a good thing. They play where teams from different leagues will play against each other in like midweek games. So, because it's kind of like football where they don't all, well, kind of. They really only play on the weekend. Occasionally you have a weekday game. Like Arsenal's playing tomorrow against West Ham. And so you'll have, you know, you could have that where like, say, there's the Champions League of hockey. And you have, like, during the season, you would have games between the top NHL teams. You take your top, like, three or four. So it's usually the top anywhere from four to two, maybe even one team per country. That's part of FIFA. And I think it's FIFA, UEFA, whatever. And so it'd be like having the top four NHL teams, the top four KHL teams. You get the top, like, three teams out of Sweden, a couple teams out of Norway, Czech Republic. And they would all play in a tournament that would happen over the full, like, over 9 months. I'd be down for that, except for the travel's insane. Like, traveling around Europe, a lot easier than traveling from, like, the U.S. to Russia.
Right.
Sweden, I don't think, is, like, probably not too bad. What, like, 6-7 hours, maybe? But, you know, I think that would be kind of cool. But no. Because I feel like what you're going to have is the KHL teams going, like, all out. Because they're going to try and prove themselves. And the NHL players are going to be like, no, thank you. Like, yeah. To be like that thing when, like, you like when you were a kid and, like, your older sibling or an older person would, like, hold your head and they'd hold you away. So you're just, like, swinging in the air trying to hit them. Like, I feel like that would be the NHL and the KHL. Well, the KHL would be like, come on! The NHL would be like, no, I don't. Why am I bothering myself with you? You're an inferior thing.
They probably want it to be like Rocky IV, where it was Drago versus Apollo Creed. You know, where Apollo Creed's, like, being a showman, there's fireworks and he's dancing around or whatever, and Drago's just all business or whatever. That's probably what they were hoping it would be like. But like,
I think the NHL would be just disinterested.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wonder if he'd be more like Mystery Alaska, but without the fun and without Russell Crowe and that wouldn't be that close of a game.
I'd be interested if the NHL would do an all-star team. You see, I don't even know how you do this if the NHL players are allowed to play in the Olympics. But if you did, like, an NHL All-Star team against the team that won the gold medal, I'd be kind of interested. Because I'm like, oh, you know, because they won the gold medal, so they've got some bragging rights. But how do they play against the All-Star NHL team or something like that? Like, that would be kind of interesting. But if it's just NHL players versus NHL players, we see that every day.
Yeah, no, not interested.
Play in Moscow and play outside. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it would be. But I'm still not interested.
Yeah. I get it.
I don't know. Kind of made my point. I feel like the certain players on the KHL are going to try and prove themselves, and it just leads to a better opportunity for someone to get injured. Hard pass for me.
Yeah, I get it. I hear you. I totally understand. But like every other negotiation that has happened, I doubt this goes any further than talk. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see it happening, and I know why they want the Caps and they want Tampa. But, you know, I just, if I'm the Caps or I'm Tampa Bay, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Players be like, oh, I conveniently have an injury.
Sorry, I can't fly the 15 hours to Russia for that. Darn.
How long is the flight? I've never looked it up because I've never.
I don't remember.
I could be cool to go to Russia. I just never was like super interested.
You leave Dulles. It's 7 hours, 55 minutes, and then you get into Geneva. And then you travel another 3 hours, 35 minutes to Moscow.
Oh, that's so not bad. It's like a 10-hour flight. More flight time is about like 10, 11 hours. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible. So I guess 25 All hours right. is a round trip.
You stop in Geneva and just stay there.
Yeah.
That's another place on my list of, you know, places to go
terrible.
Once it's safe to travel again. That's not bad. That I mean, there's worse. Yeah. But the Champions League kind of thing would be cool. It might have to be in the off season. But if you're like, if I'm a, not if I, I'm a Capitals fan. Let's say the Caps are a team that's invited to play in this Champions League. And they've just gone through a long season where they've, you know, gotten far in the playoffs or won the cup. These players need a break. You know, they need some time to recover for the next season. When does that happen? So, no thank you.
So is that it for what's going on in Caps world?
I mean, aside from the nonsense that is the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby being allowed to get away with injuring people and whatever, whoever the schmuck was that put a shoulder into Favari's head. He didn't miss any, I mean, he missed the rest of that game, but he didn't miss any, like he played in the next game. But the fact that nothing came of that, if that was Tom Wilson, Twitter would have broken because of how he would
acts of violence.
Tom Wilson doing what Tom, I was waiting for a tweet from the Rangers because of this head hit.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw it and I was like, all right, well, that's at least a game. Like, it was an avoidable hit. And the NHL was like, well, happens. Like, well, I know it happens. So when it happens, usually you say something about it, and then someone's giving you back money. Or, well, it's not you. It's going to the player assistance fund. But at the point, you do something about it. But when Crosby, twice now I've seen where he's thrown a player into the boards, and the NHL goes, oh, he plays hard. Yeah, he does play hard. You know what he also does? Crap like that. Do something about it. I know he's a star player, but it's ridiculous.
He's the golden boy. Gets to do what he wants.
That doesn't matter. Like, whatever. This, like, it's annoying. Everyone freaks out about, like, Tom Wilson. Given, Tom Wilson's a bit of a dummy when he gets on the ice. Although he's behaved himself this season. But he's dummy. You know, everyone's like, oh, Tom Wilson doing what Tom Wilson does. But no one is saying anything, at least from the NHL or the quote-unquote pundits, about when Crosby takes a dude and just tosses him to the boards. I mean, that could have had a massive injury. All that you're thrown off balance into a solid wall while you're on ice. You do that in a local rink and that's assault. Then again, so is punching someone. You're allowed to do that in hockey. No, it's dangerous. And the NHL won't do anything about it because they're a bunch of cowards. I'm done.
The NHL plays favorites. They do every single time. We know that. But that whole horrific acts of violence thing with Tom Wilson, you know, he wasn't suspended because of that, because it wasn't a suspendable thing. But it's expected with Pittsburgh. I think they just kind of let things fly when it's Pittsburgh and Washington because it's Pittsburgh and Washington.
I think they let it fly when it's Pittsburgh and at all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey. That's it for what's going on in Caps World. We'll end on that note. Welcome back, Backy. It's good to have you back, buddy. We've missed you. But that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We're talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears actually played a game of hockey!
Yay!
First time in 9 weeks. No, it hasn't been that long. They actually had 2 games since they started playing again, defeating Wilkes-Barre Scranton this past Saturday in overtime before they lost to Laval? Did we ever figure that one out? I don't care. They lost
to
them on Sunday.
I'm texting Phil because he went to that game. I'm gonna ask him what they said.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. I would go to a Bears game, but I'm bad luck. I'm 0-5 lifetime. It's ridiculous. Anyways, the Bears are currently fourth in the Atlantic, and even with all the missed games, they still have played about the same amount as everybody else. So, like, everybody's missed games, or the Bears played way too many. Not really sure what happened there. They're sitting at 21 points. They're 6 back of first place Hartford. Now, they're back at it tonight in Wilkes-Barre Scranton before they head to Springfield on Friday. They'll then come back to the Giant Center with 2 games over the weekend, hosting Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Saturday before welcoming Rochester on Sunday. Let's head down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays have had it rough, losing 3 in a row to Idaho.
Ooh.
I didn't mean to rhyme, but that still kind of worked. They are currently in the middle of a 4-game losing streak, which puts them in last in the South Division, 7 points back of first place Florida. Now, they'll try and turn things around starting on Friday, hosting Toledo at the North Charleston Coliseum before welcoming Jacksonville on Saturday and Sunday. In juniors news, the Canadian national junior team are a bunch of jerks. And not the Carolina kind. Well, kind of, but that's my point. They announced a 25-man roster for the upcoming World Junior Championship early Sunday evening. Caps prospects Hendricks, LaPierre, and Vincent Iorio did not make the final roster. So, you know what, Canada? Sorry, now you're going to lose. You've made poor choices. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
Hey, you know, Canada loves that silver, man. They really do love that silver medal. So you guys are going to keep earning doing that. But I actually read, I think it's NovaCaps.com. I follow them over on Facebook. We share some of their stuff sometimes. They actually said that since Hendricks LaPierre returned to juniors, he's been in a slump. And he came in and got like 0 points in the 2 exhibition games for the Canadian national team. And that he only got, I think, a shootout goal, and that was it. But he was like non-existent in either of the exhibition games that they played. So maybe getting a taste of that NHL life and then being sent back down to juniors kind of messed with his heads a little bit.
Maybe. And that's on, if that's the case, that's unfortunate, because I would hope that he would know at this point, like, hey, this is an opportunity for me to go back to the minors to work on my game and put myself in a position to succeed in the future. And it would be unfortunate if he looked at it as a demotion because they don't believe in him. And then he just like was sucking as a result of it. So, you know, let's hope he turns things around because he's going to be an important player for this team pretty soon.
So I asked Phil about how to say Laval, and he said the way that he pronounces it is Le Degens from Upcountry. So he's getting ready for Letterkenny coming
all
back
right,
on
so
Hulu in the month.
So he's no help.
No help whatsoever. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
He's never going to hear this. So, yeah.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah, thanks for the support, guy. All right. Well, hey, that is it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Go LaPierre and Iorio.
Yeah. Screw you, Canada. Canada sucks.
All right. That's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, guys, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. And there is a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to waste any more time. So, Coach Dan, tell us, what's going on around the NHL and beyond?
There's a lot of beyonding going on, which I don't even know what that means. But let's start with COVID, because it's everywhere, as there are reports that the NHL and NHL Players Association are having a call this evening, that being Tuesday night, to talk about the latest COVID news and what their next steps will be. Now, this is from Pierre LeBrun of TSN. Now, remember last week how we talked about a feisty game between Toronto and Winnipeg? Well, sure. Apparently there was another suspension that was coming along as less than an hour after we finished recording last week, the NHL's Department of Player Safety suspended Toronto's Jason Spezza for 6 games for kneeing Winnipeg's Neil Pionk, who actually also got suspended as a result, or fined, as a result of that game, which I thought that was kind of funny. Spezza actually later appealed the decision, and that hearing was this afternoon. So when you're listening to this, you probably already know what became of that. So we'll see. Vancouver continued to reshape their front office by hiring former Pittsburgh and Carolina executive Jim Rutherford to be the team's new president of hockey operations and interim general manager. Have you heard about what's been going on in Vancouver?
No.
Let me phrase that differently. Have you heard their chant, the fans' new chant?
No, I have not.
So they really like Bruce Boudreau, rightfully okay. so, mind you. Yeah. The chant is Bruce, there it is.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Apparently, he's not as big of a fan of it as the fans are, because he said he wished something along the lines of he wished they'd stop singing that stupid song.
I love Bruce.
But you know what? Hockey teams need more chanting. We need more, not just like, you know, let's go Caps or the CAPS. Like, we need more like player chants at things like you get in soccer and European football. Like, that's what I want. We need to bring that in. Years ago, I went to a game and they had DC United, had like DC United supporters bought a bunch of tickets and it was awesome. They were like chanting and going nuts the whole game. It was great. That's what we need more of in the NHL. Anyways, getting back to our notes. Detroit locked up forward Robbie Fabbri to a 3-year, $12 million deal. Comes with a cap hit of $4 million. Six cha-ching. Flames players and one... Yeah, well, there's about to be a lot more cha-ching going on. As six Flames players and one staff member enter the NHL's COVID protocol within a 24-hour period. Now, the team's games, I mean Calgary, they were postponed at least through Thursday, December 16th. Today, Carolina put four players on their COVID-19 list, while there were a total of 14 players alone today, Tuesday, that were placed on their team's list.
Wow.
And that's why the NHL and the NHLPA, I have to imagine, are meeting tonight to talk about this kind of stuff.
Well, there was a big thing that kind of talked to, you'll get to it in a second, but there's a big thing about whether or not the NHL will actually go to the Olympics, because as these COVID numbers go up and more games get delayed, they're like, yeah, we're going to need those 2 weeks back because we need to play these games. So this is definitely going to, that's definitely why they're meeting. They've got a lot to talk about because with the Omicron variant going around and Delta still being a force to be reckoned with, this is scary stuff going on right now, and more, and the holidays are coming around. We're seeing like what happens because of Thanksgiving, people getting together. Now we've got other holidays coming up. There's gonna be a lot of
adjustments.
Yes, absolutely.
No, it's going to be tricky, and it may end up being a moot point because the players might be like, I'm not going over there. Like, I don't even leave my house right now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it looks like, well, let's not get into what it may or may not be in terms of the scariness of the virus per se. Right. But the reality is people need to take care of themselves, and it might be a fact that players might be like, no, because if I, we're gonna, like Brandon said, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but if I have to be quarantined for a certain amount of time afterwards, I'm going to start missing games. I'm going to start missing paychecks. But anyways, international news, and like I said, we'll get to what you and I were talking about in a few minutes. But international news, starting in early 2022, the International Ice Hockey Federation's women's national teams and the IIHF Ice Hockey Women's World Championship will be added to EA's NHL 22 video game, making Team USA and Hockey Canada stars, among others, playable in the game.
That's pretty cool.
In addition to the women's teams, it is. In addition to the women's, well... It's cool they're going to be in the game. It'd be great if EA actually gave a crap about the game to make it better year after year instead of just being basically a $60 roster update.
Yeah.
The NHL game has not changed in like 10 years. Like, look at our new stuff. No, it's not. You made a slight tweak and updated the rosters. I could have done that by myself.
Did they put those beautiful blue Capital jerseys in the new one?
I don't know. I haven't gotten one because they haven't updated the thing in forever. Also, they suck, but that's moving on. In addition, they don't suck. I've come around that they're not terrible. I just wish they were better.
They're already
a couple tweaks, and they'd be great. And still, the W logo is secondary, not a primary logo. In addition to the women's teams, EA Sports, stop it, will add the IIHF content for men's teams. So players not like myself can experience the IIHF World Junior Championship as soon as this Thursday. And the IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship early next year. They'll get updated jerseys and branding for the men's national teams. Hopefully not the USA jerseys, because those are god-awful.
So apparently those jerseys are being seen in stores. And some people have posted on the Hockey Jersey Reddit page, and they're saying, you know what? I saw the USA jerseys online, and I absolutely hated them. Now that I see them in person, the guy's like, I bought one. I loved it. It actually is kind of nice. So I kind of want
to
see one in person.
I can't wait to prove that person wrong.
I know. I want to see one in person just to be like, okay, maybe they
are.
Yeah,
I was right the first time.
Yeah. I like, though, that they're adding in the World Juniors and the Ice Hockey World Championship, kind of making those tournaments feel like a bigger deal than they are than they actually kind of are. But I like the fact that they're adding all that kind of stuff.
You just, like, nicely slapped it down.
Like, nobody. All right, let's.
They're bigger than they kind of are.
Let's be honest. Nobody cares about those trophies. They're cool.
I know, I just love the way you said that.
But nobody.
They're terrible. Is basically what Brady just pulled.
You don't watch the tournament. You don't have the NHL Network.
I don't have
an
NHL Network. I can't.
I watch them, but like nobody. Like when Ovi won for Team Russia the World Championship, he met with Putin and got to shake his hand. When the U.S. World Juniors team won just this past year, no one cared. Like there's no talk about it. They won the bronze in the World Championship. No, like, invite to the White House. Nothing. No one cares. Nobody cares.
It's because hockey is not as marketable in this country.
Yeah, we've been over that. So this is Marketing 101, everybody. That's that episode of What the Puck that people are going to store and listen to before they start college. Marketing 101 by us.
There you go. You are welcome. But anyways, let's continue with international news. As we were talking about this a few minutes ago, the involvement of players at the Beijing Olympics is likely to be up in the air due to what the NHL Players Association Executive Director Donald Ferris calls a lack of concrete answers from the Beijing Organizing Committee about COVID-19 protocols, including quarantine logistics, as well as other political and safety considerations in China. Now, the quarantine period for a positive test in Beijing, especially if someone's symptomatic, is one of the biggest concerns for players. And that makes complete sense because you have to sit there with like nothing to do. You'd be stuck in China for an indefinite amount of time, but they, like we talked before, they'd also be impacted financially by missing games and practices. And the NHL has said that if you miss time due to COVID related to the Olympics, you will not be paid under their standard contract. That's coming from NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. He said, told that to ESPN. The IIHF will provide up to $5 million fund for any lost salary for players if they have to miss games as a result of playing in the Olympics. But I have to imagine that's going to dry up pretty quickly. And then you're just SOL at that point. So I would not be at all surprised if players were like, even ignoring the financial aspect of it, or like, I'm not willing to risk my health and my family's health and just pass on it. And, it, you know, it's disappointing, especially for a lot of players that might've been their last go around, you know, looking at maybe like an Ovechkin or a Nick Backstrom, but it is what it is.
I think Ovi goes no matter what, but yeah, I do agree with you. But if I am a player and I'm seeing quarantines that could last 21 days or more, and I'm seeing all of these things, like you're stuck in China. Like you literally are stuck there.
And you're not getting to go out anywhere.
No. So I don't know. If I'm a player, I'm maybe thinking like, yeah, it would be great to represent my country, but no.
Yeah, hard pass. No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to pass on that one. Now, Team USA officially announced that Bill Guerin has been named the general manager, while Chris Drury is the new assistant general manager. USA Hockey has also been using Ryan Miller as an advisor on goalies for the national team. Why not just make him your like goalie general manager or something? That's not really
a boy.
Thing.
You got his
Ryan
jersey.
Miller?
That's your boy.
I do have his USA jersey and his Vancouver jersey.
Oh, there you go.
And finally, the MyY Tour continues this week with Team USA and Canada facing off on the 15th and the 17th in Missouri. Now, currently, teams are tied at 2 games apiece. So these two games, they could still end up tied at the end.
There's one more after this week.
Oh, okay. Well, both of those games will be airing on the... That's what I was going to say. I was like, what? Six? What's a tournament of 6 games?
Right.
It's like, all right, we tied. What is hockey? Anyways, both games will be airing in the U.S. on the NHL Network. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Lots of international stuff going on right now, man. Lots of stuff going on. I think that might be the most international.
May not be for longer.
Covered. Yeah, I mean, with the way COVID's going, maybe not, but we'll see. But
I think that is the most notes I've had, I think, for the NHL and beyond in quite some time.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to have the World Juniors. We can preview that, even though there won't be any Caps players.
You will. I don't have NHL Network.
Yeah. But we'll be able to talk a little bit about that next week. But for this week, Coach Dan, is that the show?
Yeah, I think that's it. Let's wrap it up, man. Oh, some dude got hooked blatantly in the Bears game, and Bears Hockey Nation at HBH Nation blog, they're not happy about it.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why I brought that up. It just popped up. I thought it'd be fun to say. Dude, I want to go to a Bears game. I kind of think that might have to be my son's first hockey game once he gets vaccinated.
Teddy bear toss. Teddy bear toss in January.
But he knows Caps. Anytime he sees the Caps logo, he goes, Caps. So he knows them.
Good kid.
I'm making him a hockey fan.
Good. You better.
There you go.
All right. Well, if that's it for what's going on this show, it's time to wrap things up, like Coach Dan said. So if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff from time to time, as well as talking about Arsenal Football Club, talking about how Aubameyang got the captaincy stripped from him today as a result of his negligent behavior. I'm sure there is more on that to come. Talking on there about the Bills and how they almost had an amazing comeback against the Bucks, and how apparently pass interference only counts for one team. I didn't know that. It's good to know. Thanks, NFL. Also, can you talk about the Washington Football Team? Have you seen the latest rumors as what their new name is going to be?
I have not.
So the rumor, this might have been over the weekend or last week. I can't remember the exact timeline. But the latest, and this seems like a pretty strong rumor, is that they're going to be the Washington Commanders. So, first of all, terrible. Like, don't do it. It needs to be Red Wolves. Anything other than that, nope. No thanks. Oh, I don't like it. But Commanders was in there. They had this whole video they released. I don't know. Maybe it was over the summer at some point or early in the fall about all the different names as possibilities. Probably was over the summer. Names and logos and things. Commanders was in there. It needs to be. I hope it's misdirection that they're, you know, letting these things leak out to completely surprise you.
Yeah, they're like, what do you guys think of this one? This just leaked out. Oh, it's terrible. All right, cross that off.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what happened years ago with them when they tried to hire Jim Fossil. He used to be with the Giants, and then he got fired. And then there was a thing coming out where they were going to hire him as head coach, and fans down here were like, no! No, thank you! And they were like, never mind. We're not hiring him. Sorry. Sorry, Jim. You're not getting a job. Is that when they hired Jim Zorn? Whoops. Oh God, that team is embarrassing. And then a buddy of mine texted me a thing today from Twitter, apparently, that now there's a report that Dan Snyder was interfering in the NFL's investigation into the team.
Well, yeah, duh.
God, that man.
Of course he did. I mean,
to like to the team, to the fans, to just men everywhere, like just he's an embarrassment. Anyways, that's finding me somehow on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you have enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things associated with the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, maybe the Hershey Cubs, and the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were talking about football just a moment ago. Not only did my team, the Bills, lose this weekend, sounds like your team also struggled a bit. But if they want to hear you and your thoughts on that loss to the Browns, if I have that correctly, is there a podcast they should go to? Brandon has his head in his hands. This should be our picture you post tonight, both of us like this, with our like sports team logos up above us. Sports teams? Football teams. Why did I? Sports ball.
Sports ball. Yeah, if you enjoy the Baltimore Ravens, you can listen to my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. You can listen to me weep uncontrollably for an hour and a half this week because, man, that sucked, losing Lamar. Sprained ankle. That's the season, guys. It's over. Game over, man. When's the draft? That's what we're going to worry about now. Because game over. Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. He's going to rule the place with his immunization. You know, that's just bad. But if you enjoy the Ravens, listen to my podcast called The Call. You can listen to us wherever you listen to this podcast. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Wednesday, December 15th, in Chi-Town, the Windy City up against the Blackhawks. That game is at 8 o'clock. Why has it got to be so late? You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Why? 7. Come on. 8 o'clock. It's not even nationally televised. Killing me. And then on Friday, December 17th, the Capitals travel to Winnipeg up against the Jets in Canada. That game is at 8 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. Or, by the time you're listening to this and the NHL makes a decision about COVID, maybe they don't go to Canada. Who knows? Things are all up in the air right now. And then on Sunday, December 19th, the Capitals welcome the Kings to D.C. That game's at 7 o'clock, as it should be. And you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then Coach Dan and I will be back at some point next week. Christmas is coming, so we're getting busy. But make sure you're subscribed, and we will post a new show next week whenever we find the time to do that. But I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. So three games until we talk again. Maybe four. Who knows? But that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.